This is program number 13, March the 12th, 2024. Well, good morning once again. Welcome back to Back to the Basic Bible Study. I'm glad you're here with us again today. And it's good. It's a pretty day. I believe it's supposed to warm up today. It's going to be very nice. Yesterday wasn't bad at all either. Had a little cloudy, but other than that, it was warm. It was nice and comfortable. I enjoyed that day yesterday. Got some things done at home that I needed to get done. But it's a good day. It's a good day to look to the Lord. It's a good day to rejoice in the Lord today. And I hope that everything is going well with you and your family. And I pray that that everything is going well there. Well, had a great day Sunday. The Lord was good. Had a good attendance, just a good, sweet spirit. We are just experiencing a move of God in our services, and we're just grateful for that. And our church is just doing so good right now. The Lord's just blessing, and we've gone through some trials as individuals. You know, we have several individuals that have been going through some trials, but everybody's pulled together to try to help get them through those trials, and very grateful. And I covet your prayers too, that you, my wife and I, or actually my family and I, are got a couple of trials that we're going through right now. And we just covet your prayers. You'd pray for us as well. And we know that God hears prayers and God answers prayers, and very grateful for people who are prayer warriors who pray. And so I just ask that you'd pray for us as well. But hey, I want to invite you to Macedonia Baptist Church. We're located there at 23465 State Highway 237. And it actually has a Dodgers address, but we're in the Bright Star community. A lot of folks knows where the Bright Star community is. We're right off of 237. I mean, once you get on 237, if you're coming from Bloomberg or from Doddridge, you'll see the church there on the left about a half a mile. But if you're coming from Texarkana, it's on the other end of 237, where 237 stops there. We're just right a half a mile from the stop sign there, so on the right. And we would love for you to come. We have Sunday school at 9:45. We have church service at 10:45 on Sunday morning, Sunday night at 6, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we do have a youth program. We have Caleb and Gabby Smith, who work with our youth, and we have that especially on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. They have their own little class, and we'd encourage you to come, bring your family, and I think you would enjoy being a part of our church. It's a great place to be. So thank you for KALT for letting us be on the radio again, and hopefully things will expand and maybe be back on the FM, AM radio eventually. Right now we're just on the internet, but we appreciate them allowing us to be on here. I want to do a song this morning. I love this song. It just kind of hit me. You know, of all of the things that are going on in this world, that whether we approve or disapprove, there's a lot of things that we disapprove of. And it kind of discourages at times. Just if you're a born-again believer and Jesus Christ is your Savior, this world is not your home. And that's the name of this song. Let me sing it for you. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that one thing I know, my Savior, pardon me, and now I'm onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. What a song. And that'll hopefully, you know, that's kind of one of those songs that kind of gets in your mind and gets in your head, and you can't get it out, you know. So all day long, you'll probably be thinking about this song. It's a beautiful song. I just love it, though. And it does give us hope. It does. It gives us hope that there is a home beyond here. And I'm very grateful that we do have a home beyond here. So this morning, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'll turn your Bibles there, if you're able to do so. I'm going to grab a quick sip of water here. There we go. Yeah, that sounds better. That feels better. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here, verse 17, actually through verse 32, which is at the end of the chapter here. Let me just kind of give you a little bit of update of what's going on in this chapter. Of course, Paul, this is a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he starts out in the beginning how we are to keep unity in the Spirit. And that is so important in the church today, that we keep unity in the church. And that of course, the church is the people. You know, it's not the building, but it's the people. And we come together in one accord. That is so important. There's so many churches that are divided. They have cliques in them. That causes division in the church. And we don't need division in the church. We need that oneness. You know, when you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God, the Trinity, it's a oneness. And when we come in oneness as a body of believers with the oneness of God, then great things do happen. So he's encouraging everybody. He's talking about it. He's explaining it, how that we come together here in the first six verses here. That we come together as one. And then verse 7 down through verse number, actually I think it goes all the way over yet to verse 16, we see that he talks about these gifts that we have in the body. The reason it's so important, one of the reasons it's so important that we come together as a body of Christ in oneness, is because we are a body. And as a body, we all have gifts in the church to help keep the body functioning properly. And of course, Christ is the head of the body. And so it's very important that we understand that we utilize whatever that gift is. Now, he mentions in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. And then in verse 12, and this is the reason why, for the perfecting or to complete of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so it's very important that we come together in unity and we use the gifts that God gives us so that we can edify or build up the body of Christ. Okay. Now in verse 17, he gives us here something that we have to constantly work on if you're a born-again believer, and that is this fleshly character that we, this fleshly nature that we have, the lust of the flesh that we have, that we're born with. Even if you're saved and your sins have been forgiven, we still battle with the flesh. We still battle with the body. The body is going to sin. Nobody's perfect except for Jesus. He was the only one that was perfect that lived in a body. And until we are glorified, which one day we will put on perfection. God will give us perfection, and we'll know what that's like to never sin, never disobey Him ever again, which is amazing. And it'll be awesome when that takes place. So he's talking about how that while we're on this earth, how we can keep our flesh in control, okay? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, let me just share this with you. A genuine salvation experience makes changes in our lives. A person who is genuinely saved by Jesus Christ, you can't help it. There's going to be some changes in your life. You're going to change in ways. Now, I thought of three thoughts here. First of all, our attitude is going to change. We'll have a changed attitude. And what that means is our way of thinking is going to change. We're going to want to please the Lord. We will want to try to help appease the spirit that's within us with His spirit. In other words, we're going to try to do what's right, okay? And so that attitude changes. People who get saved, it's amazing to me when people get saved, how that automatically things begin to change in their life. So we'll have a changed attitude, all right? And then nextly, we'll have a changed approach. In other words, our future ideas are different. They become different. Before we were living for ourselves, and now after we've been saved, we're living to please the Lord and to help others. And it's amazing how that works, but it does. So we'll have a changed attitude or way of thinking. We'll have a change approach. And then thirdly, we'll have a change action. And that's our behavior. It just, you can't help it. Why? Because when Jesus comes into our lives, He oozes out. He comes out. He's real. And if it's a genuine salvation. Now, let me explain that, genuine salvation. There's a difference between people who profess to know Jesus and those who possess Jesus, okay? There's many that out there that would say, yeah, I know who Jesus Christ is, and yes, I believe He is who He said He was, but they've never possessed Christ. Now, if you've had a genuine salvation experience, you can testify, just as I can testify, that you know what that means, because you have experienced Jesus in your life. He has come into your life, and He's changed your attitude. He's changed your approach. He's changed your actions in your life. Now, we're not perfect by no means, but we things have changed in our lives because He's there. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. That's, you remember in John, Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples that He was not going to leave them or forsake them, even though He was going back to heaven. He was going to send the Comforter. The Comforter was going to come, and He was going to reside in them. So we have Jesus Christ in us. We also have the Father in us through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit comes in when you're saved. You know, let me talk about this experience just for a moment so that everybody clearly understands. The experience of a genuine salvation is a time that you know when Jesus came into your life. Now, listen, salvation, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So it is God's grace that saved you. It's Jesus's grace that has saved you. Okay, you didn't have anything to do with that. Okay, that's out of your hands. It's Christ that saves you. But the only part that we have is our faith in Christ. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Him, and we cry out, we call out to Him to come into our lives. And through that little bit of faith that we have, God magnifies that, and through His grace, He saves us. And so that's how salvation works, all right? It's not about, you know, I'm going to wake up this morning and say, yeah, I'm going to be saved today. No, it's an experience that you experience. And my faith is not based on how I feel. My faith is based on the fact of what the Word of God says. If I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I call out to Him, I repent to Him, as I did, then He will come into my life. I believe in that. And I believe that happened to me when I was 12 years old, when I went to the altar and I cried out to Jesus to save me because I didn't want to go to hell. And He did. And He came into my life. And I believe that to this day. And I'm 61 years old. And I still believe in that salvation experience that took place when I was 12 years old. So that's what a genuine salvation experience. And the only way you're going to fully understand if you're lost out there is to experience Jesus Christ for yourself, because all of us that have been saved, we know what that means and we understand that. But a lost person won't until that moment that Jesus Christ comes in and lives inside of them. You know, the Bible is very clear. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. We had to put our trust in what Jesus did. He came to die for the sins of the world. He went on the cross. He was crucified. And at that moment, He took on the sins of the entire world, past, present, future, was separated from His Father, which is the first time that's ever happened, because of the sin. His Father, of course, it got darkened. He had to turn His back on His own Son. Why? Because of our sin. He did that for us so that we could have eternal life. And of course, now He resides at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, and waiting the day when He comes back and He gets His church and He brings them home. You know, and He's going to come back also the second time, and He's going to set up His reign, His rule and reign here on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, in this passage here, we're going to look at some verses here in just a moment. Matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 17 down through verse 19 here, and talking about putting on the new person, the new man. He uses the word new man. I'm gonna use person there because that would include, of course, this does include all of us, but to put it in a better perspective, okay? If you look in verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, which means behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, verse 17 through verse 19 here, we're going to look at here about putting on this new person, this new man, the ways of the old person. Okay, look at verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." We'll talk about that here in a moment. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life, from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now let's look at verse 17 again. We see the ways of the old person here. He uses the word vanity of their mind, which means a pointless life, okay? So the ways of the old person is a pointless life, okay? The word vanity here means useless or pointless, okay? That's what that word means. And then second of all, we see the blind understanding. Look at verse 18, having the understanding darkened, okay? The understanding is darkened here. Meaning, you know, you ever wonder why people just can't see the truth when it's right there before them? It's because they're blinded to the truth. Whereas it's like salvation, for an example, we were talking about a while ago. To us that are saved, it's not blinding to us. It's not darkened, right? We understand what that means. But to a lost person, they can't see the truth until they experience the truth, okay? Once they experience the truth, then a whole lot of things will come clear in their minds. They'll understand. So it's kind of like a debate over whether it's okay to lie or not to lie. Well, the Bible's very clear in saying don't lie, right? And we understand that as believers because our understanding is not darkened, okay? So, but to a lost person, it may not be as clear. And they may say, well, you know, it's okay. You know, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or whatever. It's okay to do it in those cases. And it's not. God says don't do it, so we don't do it, right? And that's very clear. So the blind understanding. And then also, the ways of the old person is not living for God. Look at verse 18 again. So he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Okay, being alienated from the life of God. How? Through, first of all, ignorance, which means you don't know the truth. Okay, so the difference between ignorance and stupidity is simple. Ignorance is you don't know. Okay, you don't have that knowledge. Stupidity is that you have that knowledge, but you still do it wrong. Okay, so that would be the difference between stupidity and ignorance. So he says here, through ignorance, they're not living for God, right? Because they don't understand. They don't. Their understanding is darkened. Okay, and then also through the hardness of the heart. Now look what he says. He says through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, okay? The blindness, if you look that word up, means hardness. It's the hardening of the heart. So the reason, people sometimes do some pretty crazy things or actually very sinful things, what we would refer to as very sinful things in this world, is because of a hardness of the heart. They don't have God there. Now, as a born-again believer, the Spirit's inside of us. So when we're in the process of doing something that is against God to sin, then that Spirit begins to convict our hearts, okay? A lost person doesn't have that, okay? They don't have that. They don't have that conviction. Their conviction is to be saved, right? So they don't have that conviction. Now, they may have a conscience, and their conscience may say, you know, you shouldn't do that. But we have even more than that. We have God inside of us who's saying, don't do it. You know, so there's the difference there. And then we see number four here. We see that they have a pointless life, blind understanding, not living for God. And then number four, living a life of lawlessness. Now look what he says in verse 19. Who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, which means lawlessness or sin. It's like a sinful life, okay? To work all uncleanness and greediness, okay? So they live sinful, They're living a life of sin. Okay, and the problem is they're ignorant of it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the truth of the Word in their lives to point out what they're doing is wrong, okay, against God. Okay, maybe it may be made right in the eyes of man, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right in the eyes of God, okay? And then also, he says they work all uncleanness, which would have to do with sin, with what? Greediness. And boy, we live in a world of greed, don't we? I'm telling you, it's all about the almighty dollar. People want that almighty dollar. So what Paul was saying here in these three verses here is you, as born-again believers, you need to not live like that, okay? You need to avoid that kind of lifestyle. Get away from that because you have someone inside of you that is going to take you in a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, okay? Then we see the way of the new person here. In the next verses, through the rest of the chapter here, we're going to break this down. First of all, the way of the new person is to learn Christian teaching. Look at verse 20. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Now, remember, this is Paul that's writing this. So Jesus has already ascended back into heaven, okay? Way before all of this. And so he's not here on the earth as in a physical body of form, okay? But he's in us through this Holy Spirit, okay? So he's in us. He says here that there's an experience that takes place here because he says, "But ye have not learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So we need to learn Christian teaching. Don't live as unbelievers, as it was described above in verse 17 through 19, but we need to hear Jesus through his Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. We need to be taught by Jesus through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And then the genuine truth is in Jesus. And how do we know that? How can we experience the genuine truth that is in Jesus through his example? He gave us an example in the Word of God. He gave us an example of a lifestyle that we should live as believers, and through his teaching, which is in the Word of God. So we have all of these resources here to help us get where we need to be in our Christian life and all that we do. Okay, man, we are just about out of time. I got to hurry. So we had that. Then we see number two, Christianity teaches to do away with your pre-conversion life of sin. Look at verse 22, "that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Why? We need to put that off. We need to take that life and take it off. Right? We needed to put away the old person that we were. But why? Because it's corrupt and is full of deceitful lust, okay? And then we need to renew our mind in verse 23 and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's your way of thinking. There's a constant changing that's going on in your life. We are being brought in the love, we are being brought in line with God's viewpoint. Now, there's a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things..." "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." So that's what takes place, okay? Then we put on the new man in verse 24, "and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So it's created after God's ways. It's created in righteousness, which is action. And then it's created in true holiness, which means a divine character or a fear or reverence of God. Okay? So how can we lay aside the old person and put on the new person, okay? And we can see that in verse 25 on down through verse 32. He mentions here five sins that we disregard or we discard and virtues to replace them. First of all, we see in verse 25 that lying is to be replaced by truth telling. As he said, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then number two is a sinful anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We are to put away a sinful anger and put on a righteous anger. There is a righteous anger and there is a sinful anger, but we don't let the sun go down on a wrath, okay? And then thieving or theft. Theft is to be replaced by honest work in verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, as he says here, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have give to them that are in need. Okay? Foul language, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he says in verse 31, he kind of pulls all this together, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, which means compassionate, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So there it is. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Let me pray with you. Thank you. Thank you again, Lord, for letting us have this opportunity this morning to be able to share the word. And I pray you'll bless it. Use your word. It's powerful enough to do it. You don't need me, but use the word that it might strengthen us, that those that are lost might be convicted to come to know you. And those that are saved, that it, we might encourage us to live a better life for you. So please help us. Help us to live by the example you gave us. And Lord, give us a great day today. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for listening. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And Lord willing, I'll see you next week.